dad. He was born in 1886 mm-hmm. in Nogale, Latvia. And he left Latvia and entered Canada in 1907. Mm-hmm. In between all this, I think when he was a young boy, he worked on a boat, you know, and it went to the Bay of Biscayne, and it sunk. And he didn't go down with the boat. But I don't know very much about this story. But in 1907, mm-hmm. he landed in Montreal. But you know what they did? I think the war, there was kind of a war going on in Latvia. Not the First World War, but another kind of a war. He decided to go, to leave Latvia. And they got a job on another boat. And they went to Liverpool. And then they jumped the boat in Liverpool. You see, and so they went to Liverpool, and then they jumped the boat there. And then they walked, he and another guy, they walked across from Liverpool, from the east side of England to Liverpool, and got a job on another boat. And landed, that boat was going to Montreal, and it landed in 1907 in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And of course they jumped both there. And he was 21 years old at this time. Now all this information I got because when he wanted to retire and get his old age pension, he had to get a whole bunch of information from Latvia, where I was looking on that information. And then he learned how to be a carpenter in Quebec. And then I guess they must have rode the rails right across Canada. And he lived in Vancouver from 1909 to 1913. And then my dad got a job on the CNR Railway, which was the B&B gang, so he must have been a fairly good carpenter, or he wouldn't have got that job, bridge and building. And all during the Depression, well, he had a job. To me, that is very important. And of course, when he came to Edmonton, he built houses. He built quite a few houses. And then in 1921, he went back to Latvia to marry a Latvian girl. And my mother only knew my dad 4 days. And she married him because he wanted to marry a Latvian girl. And all her sisters, she comes from quite a big family of about 8 sisters. And everybody encouraged her to marry him because the life would be so much better in Canada than it would be in Latvia. And her father had quite a huge farm. And he was the mayor of his little area. You know, so that is in Puope. So anyway, my mom came to, in 1921, she was married in Latvia. Yeah, they got married in Latvia, in Puope. And then she came here to Canada. And there were 5 children in our family. Art. And he served in the Canadian Navy during the last war on a what is it, Algonquin. It was a destroyer. And then there was me, Helen. And then there's twins, Dorothy and Ed. My mother was pregnant with my last sister. She took us all back to Latvia. My mom went back to Latvia, not my dad. You see, we had a pass on the railway. You know, my dad worked on the railway, and we had a pass. And then I think we got a half fare on the boat. And we landed in Bremerhaven. Oh, I'm kind of jumping around. But we had another woman, another Latvian woman, who was going back to Latvia. She traveled with us. And she must have been a friend or something, I don't know. But we were delayed in New York for about a day or so, waiting for the boat, the Bremen, which was sunk during the last war. And I think the interesting story about my mother is, we stayed in a hotel, and here in Edmonton, we didn't have, you know, street lights, red and green. You know, there was no no streetlights. So she wanted to get some oranges across the road at a grocery store. She just walks out into the traffic and stops the traffic on New York City, you know, to walk across the street because she didn't know the difference, you know. So I always think that that was a real funny story. But when we landed in, then we got onto the boat in New York, and then we went to Bremerhaven. That's where we got off. And then we took the train to Berlin in Germany. And then I think we had to change in Berlin. But we were stopped in Berlin because Hitler is having a big youth rally. All the trains were being taken up of people coming into the city for this great, huge Hitler youth rally or whatever it was. And the interesting story was a dancing teacher I took from. She got a scholarship from Estonia to take modern dance from Mary Wigman, who was one of the top modern dance teachers of the world. Mm-hmm. She was the first one to discover modern dance. And Lina, my dancing teacher, she was performing in that big celebration of the Hitler youth. So anyway, we were delayed there, so the Canadian embassy had to bring us in food, you know, for I think it was about 3 days we were there. But the Canadian embassy brought us our meals because they told us not to go out. And then when we arrived in Ventspils, we took a cab to where we were going to stay at my mother's sister Anna. And no, she lived in Poppe, somewhere around Poppe, where my mom grew up. They had just received the letter that we were coming, and we arrived at the door. They would have had the house all cleaned up and everything, but there we were. And while we were there, because I think we were there for about 6 months. We were there in May, and we didn't get back till September when school started. But when we were there, we picked up the Latvian language, you see, because you're playing around. Well, when we came back, I was only 5 then, you see, and I started school. And we all sat down, and my brother Art started school because he's 5 years older than I am. And we must have had a little bit of an accent because the kids at school were making fun of us. And we'd come home crying, you know, because the kids were making fun of us. Because, you see, in 1930... was it 31? People were it was very English and British, and here's all the Germans were here, you know, the Germans, the Chucks. If you had Chuck or Ski on the end of your name, you really were ostracized. You really were. They made fun of you. You were, you know, you really had to be British. So we come home crying, and my dad just say, "All right, we're gonna speak English in our family. We're going to be Canadians." And my mother studied English all her life. Like, she went to technical school and learned how to speak English. Like, she can speak English. She spoke English better than lots of Latvians. when she was here, you know, we eventually had, like, she had twins. And we, because I was young, I don't remember much about how we associated with the Latvians. But there was a Latvian community there in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they all kind of visited back and forth. And we had friends with different Latvian families. And no, but you see, my dad was a carpenter. And he built us a house on 97th Street and 116th Avenue. And it was a beautiful brick house. And we lived on a street. This is a street. I don't know. Oh, do you know 97th Street with the boulevard down the middle? And we had, on the corner, there was Colonel Brown. And then the next house was the manager, one of the managers of Eaton's. And then there was the Freys with 5 kids. But all behind us mm-hmm. was big, what we called the Bay Ground. Because the Hudson Bay owned all that land. Where Kingsway Garden Mall is now, that was the Bay Ground. And my mother decided we were going to have a cow. Yes. You know, all Latvians are very industrious. They all plant gardens. They all, you know, they all sewed, you know, they all do things the way they did in, probably in Latvia. So my mom had a cow. We had a beautiful Jersey cow, which used to be tethered in the bay ground. Well, it's funny. And then all our neighbors, you know, they thought, gee, this milk is just real good milk, you know, and the cream on the top and everything. And in those days, we had glass milk bottles. You know, and when you let them for a while, the cream came to the top. So all the neighbors wanted milk from my mother. You know, they wanted milk because we had so much. She'd milk in the morning, milk at night, because it was a Jersey cow. And it produced a lot of milk. It was almost given away for next to nothing. You know, she got a little bit for it. But the funny part is the Edmonton City Dairy was always trying to catch her, delivering milk or putting milk in people's little cubby holes. Well, because it wasn't pasteurized. It wasn't pasteurized, so they were always trying to catch my mom. And my brother used to say my mom used to put on a dark dress to go around to deliver milk. But lots of our neighbors, you know, got milk from us. But she was the most wonderful mother you could ever wish anybody to be. My brother Art played the guitar. My brother Ed plays the drums. So we had the drums down the basement all the time. Yeah, and of course I took dancing, and I don't think we, you know, not, it's not like the Latvians where they sing. Or they even sing whenever they have Names Day celebrations or they get together in a group. They sing. I've been to Latvia 5 times. See, so I've experienced a lot. When it was in Russian times, I was changed from the first time I went. Oh, it was awful. The dreary. In 1990, went over there when it was still under Russian domination. Every year I went, things were better and better and better and better. And you can't believe what it was like in Russian times. Drab. Ugh. It's a whole story about me getting my final visa to get into Latvia, because I came in through Tallinn, Estonia, and they met me there. Yeah, my cousins, they met me in Tallinn, Estonia, and then I went to Riga. But he had to take my permit into the town to the Communist Party to let them know I was in town in Riga, you know. But mind you, it started to get a little freer then. You go into the store, so there you couldn't get much food. Every time we walked downtown, my cousin Egon would dash into a store to see if they had some soap, washing soap. Not, you know, or he'd dash into a store to see if they had a little bit of decent meat, you know. And the Latvians are just like radishes, red on the outside and white on the inside. Because you see, in Latvia, for the 50 years that they were under Russian domination, they couldn't celebrate Easter, they couldn't celebrate Christmas, none of that. But yet, although they were stifled from celebrating Christmas and Easter and everything, they still know all the Latvian folk songs. So that behind curtains, they were teaching their children and singing these songs at celebration. The country is gorgeous. Just gorgeous. It's just so, it's a lot like the mountains in a lot of ways, a lot of spruce trees, and not hilly, but a lot of that. My mother brought over a blanket, a hand-woven blanket in squares, beautiful squares. And I can remember that it was thick, real, real thick blanket. And over the years, it was washed and washed and washed. And when we broke up the house, there were still wonderful pieces left. And we kept those. Everybody's got a piece. We had actually a wonderful childhood, you know, with 5 kids running around. And all the boys played hockey. All of us skated, you know. All my friends know I'm, because the last 20 years since I've really got come back to learning about my heritage. My God, I do everything. I think they've learned so much about the Latvian culture, they think they're Latvian. But I'm a Canadian, yeah. My dad's brother came. My dad's brother was here, but they all died here. When we were young, they came at a very early age, too. So they had one child, yeah, one child. He built up that house on 116th Street, 116th Avenue. He learned the trade in Quebec. Definitely. Yeah, in Quebec when he jumped ship. Right after the war, my dad and my brother should have gone into the business of building houses, because my dad built houses like he built them so strong that no wind would blow them down. You know, I guess he learned how to build things strong so they'll last, not slipshoddy and stuff like that. So we tried to learn a little bit of Latvian from my mom, but she was learning English. So even I now have some old stuff, and I see she's been reading the newspaper, and she'll have the English word written out, and then she'll have it written in Latvian. So she studied English all her life as a hobby. Actually, my dad was friends with a lot of the Latvians, and the men used to gather and drink beer and have, you know, what men are like. But my mom never really got involved. And we were so involved in, all us kids, were so involved in sports that he was the kind of a guy, everybody used to seem to ask him to do jobs for him. You know, Fred, will you come over and fix the stairs, or Fred. You know how somebody's a carpenter, and they're always doing something for somebody else and not doing it around the house, around our house, you know. No, we never celebrated. No. I never even knew about November 18th, November 18th until I started to get involved with the Latvian Association. Well, you know, I think the Latvian community here that came over in the after the last World War, the Latvians here, when they came, they really, really needed each other. And the more I talk to them, the more you realize that they sort of stuck together as a group. You know, I don't know whether, there's never been a whole pile of Latvians here. I don't know how the Latvians, like, of my dad's era integrated with the new bunch that came in. But I know that the group that came here, really, they used to come to everything that we had. They had some wonderful basketball teams, and they played volleyball, and they had a choir. They really had a big group going, and all kinds of things going. But now everybody's getting older and dying off. And that's when I came onto the scene, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, Put Van, it's a wonderful, wonderful song. It's about a boat going out, and then, you know, and then it comes back, or I don't know what the thing is, but it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. She sung in choirs, but I love all the classical music, and I love the organ music of Latvia. They have the big dome in Latvia. It has one of the most famous organs of Europe. I think the first one was built in 18-something, and it's been refurbished. But it is a magnificent organ. And I've gone to concerts there with that organ. There's a lot of Latvian composers, too. We found out that there, a Latvian organist by the name of Iveta Apkalna was one of the organists chosen from a worldwide competition to compete in the organ concert in Calgary. So her and I went down, and we met Iveta, and like she did a concert, and we met her. We took flowers to her, and you know, we waited till after the concert because she did a concert. It wasn't a really good concert because they had to play with an orchestra of wooden instruments, and it really didn't interest us very much because. But it was a competition, and they had to see who would do the best. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we met her. So when I came back here, I approached the Oregon Society here, and I said, you know, you should really bring her to Edmonton to play, to do a concert at the Windspear. So I approached the Latin. I said, I think I could probably get some money and from the Latvian Association, and, you know, we could bring her here. What did they do? Brought her here. She came here for an organ concert, and I organized a Baltic weekend. We had the Baltic weekend, and we had her come to our November 18th, And then on the day after we had our banquet, she did a concert at the Windspear. First time I went to Latvia and I came back. I thought, I'm going to do something to get the Latvians together here in Edmonton. And so I organized Remember Your Latvian Heritage. And we had over 200 people show up. I dug every little, I got every little name I could possibly get. You know, we had it over here at the church. And we had a display of all Latvian, you know, weaving and just everything. I don't know about the younger generation, but the older generation, it was weaving and flowers and singing. But you know, when they were older, there wasn't televisions and stuff like this. And I don't think the younger people are weaving and doing what my parents did.